It's time for Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast brought to you by the fan site, taylorswift13.org. Hi, everybody. This is episode 47 of Taylor Talk. I am Adam.
Belle.
I'm Maya.
And I'm Diane.
Hello, ladies. Welcome, welcome. Good to have you.
Hello, not a lady. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you for recognizing that, Belle. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Go testosterone.
Yeah. All right, so I got a story for you.
Oh, boy.
So last night I was hanging out with some friends, and you know, you ladies all have Wonderstruck, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, I don't, because it's a ladies' fragrance, and so, well, I don't wear ladies' fragrances. And so I thought it would be fun to make a Wonderstruck drink, because have you looked at what goes into Wonderstruck? Like the actual top notes and scents and fragrances and all that stuff?
Yes.
Yeah.
There are beverages of the same flavors as those scents.
Yeah.
So I was hanging with some friends, and one of them is conveniently a bartender here on the Strip in Vegas. And so I was like, okay, in Wonderstruck, it's got apple, berries, vanilla. And I basically listed off these different fragrances. And I'm like, how can we make a drink out of it? And we actually created a drink that tastes as Wonderstruck smells.
That's a riveting story, Adam. It has both suspense and wonder, and I laughed and I cried.
Hey, it has wonder because it's Wonderstruck.
That's fun, Rally.
And here's the icing on the cake. The drink is also purple, like Wonderstruck.
Whoa.
Oh, that's cool.
That's cool. How'd you make it purple?
Because Adam put it in a purple glass.
Well, you'll have
glass.
To watch the YouTube video when it releases. We did a how-to video, and you'll learn how. And the best part of it is we created a non-alcoholic version as well. So there's an adult version and a kid version.
Oh, that's very nice.
The same drink. So, I don't know. I thought it was a fun story. Like, anything else going on in your lives? you guys got boring lives, huh?
I'm boring today.
Yeah. I forgot to buy Taylor tickets again today. I keep forgetting to buy Taylor tickets. I forgot to do that today.
Oh, oops.
I've given up on pre-sales and all that.
I suddenly realized that it was past 12 and the pre-sale started at 12.
Yeah, unless your mouse is like hovering over the find tickets button.
Right, there's no point. Like, you're going to get like, section 305. And it's like, I don't think so.
No, that's okay.
If you even get that.
Right, or you might get like nothing. Like, because maybe you can find one seat in like the last row of the nosebleed.
If even. Let's carry on with the episode, starting off with the calendar.
Taylor will be running around Europe this week, starting on January 23rd, when she will be appearing on Spain's network show, El Homogado. Sorry, I don't know how to say that. The following day, January 24th, Taylor will attend Spain's Los Primeros 40. She's nominated for the non-Spanish international category, and she's expected to perform. Later on January 26th, Taylor will attend the NRJ Music Award 2013 in Cannes, France, and on January 28th, Taylor will perform at the NRJ private concert in Paris. Sounds like it's going to be a busy week in Europe for Taylor. On February 5th, Tim McGraw's album Two Lanes of Freedom will be released. The 13th track, entitled Highway Don't Care, features Taylor Swift and Keith Urban. You can expect us to review and discuss the song after its release.
All right, and then on February 10th, Taylor is going to be performing at the 55th Annual Grammy Awards. Yay! And on top of the performance, it's a really big night for her because she has three nominations this year. Record of the Year for We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together, Best Country Duo Group Performance, and Best Song Written for Visual Media, both for Safe and Sound, featuring the Civil Wars. So make sure that you watch that. It's, again, going to be February 10th on CBS at 8, 7 Central. And then on February 20th, Taylor is nominated at the Brit Awards for International Female Artist, and we think that she's attending, although we've been hearing conflicting reports, but we think she's going to be there. So watch that too, if you live in the UK.
Cool. Thanks for that, Maya and Diane.
You're welcome.
Carrying on with the news, Taylor donated 2,000 books to the Reading Hospital Child Health Early Literacy Program, which happens to be the hospital where she was born in Pennsylvania. And also, Taylor was interviewed by German Glamour magazine. Oh boy, a German name. Gluckskind?
Gluckenshined. I have no idea.
Does anyone have any better guesses at that?
I think Gluckskind.
Gluckskind looks right.
I don't know.
Gluckskind. All right, anyway, she talks about her perfect day, perfume, and what it's like to be a successful American musician in Europe.
Earlier this week, Dan Wilson, who co-wrote Treacherous, talked about Taylor and played Treacherous at a small venue show. He said that the astonished face Taylor makes when she wins an award is the exact same face she makes in the studio when she comes up with a great song idea. That's so cute. I love it. Oh my gosh, perfect! I can just picture it in my head. He also said that that's the same face that she made when he came up with the great ideas, which he said was very encouraging. You can watch the video on our episode guide at taylortalk.org. And last but not least, All Too Well is going to be a country single.
Yay!
What?
Yay! I'm so happy about that.
Thank you, Taylor's ex-boyfriend, for not giving her her scarf back.
You know what's funny? Is, you know when we did the All Too Well discussion and we mentioned how it
wasn't going to be a single because it's not singly.
As a single.
Yeah.
And then it happened.
Yeah, we definitely got called out on that. Someone tweeted us recently.
Like, we're not psychic. Most of the time.
Most of the
But it is a good time to remind everyone that everything we talk about is speculation and our opinion and things like that. You know, what we say, don't take it as fact necessarily, what we say about the songs. Just us discussing them, chit-chatting.
Exactly.
Apparently we were wrong about that one, so there's a big clue for you. Carrying along to our first mini-segment, You Know Your Swiftie When, / If Swifties Ruled the World.
The first one comes from RapDavid19 on Twitter, and they say, You know you're a Swiftie when whenever you're mentioning Taylor Swift, you're calling her either Tay or Tay-Tay.
That's what I do.
Our next one is from SafeAndSoundXX on Twitter, and they said, You know you're a Swiftie when you yell at your cat for not being as cute as Meredith. That's really funny.
Oh, poor kitty.
Poor kitty.
All right, and we got a back-to-back from SafeAndSoundXX. The next one is, You know you're a Swiftie when you buy all your friends Taylor cards.
Ooh, I totally do that.
I do that, too.
I do that, too.
Guilty.
Our next one comes from Asha on Facebook. You know you're a Swiftie when the first thing on your Christmas / birthday wish list is a red Maserati.
Wow, if, that sounds like an expensive wish.
Yeah, if she gets that for Christmas or her birthday, I want her parents.
Right?
Right?
Yeah, that's a pretty intense gift. I mean, good for you, though. You get one.
It totally reminds me of Brad Paisley's song Online Now, because he talks about a Maserati, and I don't know why.
Oh, yeah!
All right, well, thanks for sending all those submissions in. Keep them coming so we can use them in future episodes. Thumbs up to all of you. Oh, sorry, hand hearts. That's what we do here, right?
Virtual hand hearts.
Virtual hand hearts. So last week we tore you all down. We brought Belle to tears with our discussion of The Moment I Knew. Now we're going to pick you back up with a fun and lighthearted analysis of Taylor's song Stay, Stay, Stay. That was by special request of Forever Enchanted 13 on Taylor Connect. So, Stay, Stay, Stay. What's everyone think?
I love it.
It's adorable.
So cute.
I love it. It's one of my favorite songs. Absolute favorite off of this album.
She better sing it on tour because it's just going to be so fun to, like, dance around and sing along.
Yeah, it's such, like, a happy and carefree and just, like, it just makes you feel good. It's a very lighthearted song.
This is going to sound, like, weird, possibly, but for me, like, the first time that I ever heard this song, before I even really heard it and I just saw the title Stay, 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 I was thinking to myself, there are so many songs by so many different artists that I've heard called Stay, so I guess Taylor really wanted to, like, up the ante.
Yeah,
yeah, she wrote Stay three times.
Stay, Stay, Stay.
What I really like about the song is it shows how imaginative Taylor is. She came up with this whole situation, and it's a really realistic situation. It almost sounds like a movie to me. Or a scene from a movie, rather.
Yeah, it sounds like she's made up a scene.
Like, it's so realistic that I almost think, despite the secret message, that it might not be entirely made up. I mean, that's entirely my opinion.
What if it was like, here's a possibility, though. Despite the secret message and despite all of that, what if it was like a situation where this stuff did happen? The only difference is that it didn't end happily.
Right.
Like, and she just turned it into, like, you know, oh, here, like, maybe all the details that she wrote are true, but instead of staying, the guy left.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe. And I'm sure there are certain, like, pieces in this song that are inspired by, like, real things that have happened to Taylor. She just put them all in one song and made it about this perfect relationship, but not necessarily a relationship that she's ever had.
Yeah.
Well, any work of fiction comes from the author's real-life experiences.
Mm-hmm. It really does.
It always does, even if it's fictional. So, let's talk more about the specific lyrics. Does anyone have any favorites? Anything that jumps out at them?
I mean, I remember the first time I heard it, I really liked the line about him coming in wearing a football helmet.
Oh, you stole
I just love the detail of that, and like, it's so out of the blue and quirky and funny, and I just started laughing because I thought it was so great.
Well, of course he wore a football helmet. I mean, the night before she threw his phone or her phone at him.
I know, it's just cute. Like,
it's adorable. That's
the image of it.
Yeah, I stole my favorite too, because that's my favorite too. I just think it's hilarious, because, like, how can you possibly, like, you're all mad, and you're all upset, and you had this big old fight, and you're like, okay, we need to talk this out, and you're probably, like, nervous, and like, oh gosh, I'm kind of dreading this, and then the guy rocks in wearing a football helmet, what can you possibly do but just start laughing?
Right.
So, Belle, what would you do then, if you were dating someone, you had a fight with them, and the next day they came in wearing a football helmet?
I'd start laughing.
You'd be like, oh, you know what, never mind. I don't think I'm mad at you anymore.
Everything is forgiven.
You're like, was I ever mad at you? Diane, did you have any lyrics you
yes,
liked?
Yes, I do. I love the line, you carry my groceries and I'm always laughing.
Why?
Because it's one of those moments that is so simple, you know, like he's just carrying her groceries, you know? I mean, it's not like it's like this big grand gesture when he's taking her out to dinner or giving her like fancy rings and whatnot. It's just something like really sweet, and I think like she just points out that those moments are also like extremely special, if not more special. You guys see that?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, because that actually, when you started talking about that, it reminded me of Begin Again, how just simple little gestures are really what she's looking for, just common courtesies from the guy she's dating.
Mm-hmm.
I have an interesting take. I promise this is still on subject of the song and everything, but recently there was an article posted about somebody that was basically defending Taylor against people saying that she was, like, anti-feminist.
I saw that.
And I feel like that's not true. I don't think that it's anti-feminist to appreciate gestures. Because it doesn't matter, like, who's doing the gesture, the guy or the girl. Like, when someone's carrying your groceries, it's just sweet.
Right, and it's not like Taylor saying, like, oh, my bags were so heavy that I couldn't, you know, do it. Like, of course Taylor can carry her own groceries.
Exactly. It's just the gesture. It's just like those little tiny small thoughtful things. And I don't feel like that's anti-feminist at all. I feel like in any relationship, no matter what kind of relationship it is, whether, you know, the girl's carrying the groceries or whether there's two girls dating or like whatever the circumstances is, when somebody does something nice for somebody else, it's just like the small gestures are the ones that you actually remember more than the big ones. Well, mm-hmm. I don't know if that's true for everybody, but it is kind of for me.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, it's the little things that, like, people do without you having to ask or without trying that really make you believe that they care. And it's just, like, so that, I was just, that line reminds me of that article because it just, to me, that, like, disproves everyone trying to call her anti-feminist. Because I'm like, I don't feel like that's exact at all what she's saying when she says things like this. I feel like she's just simply saying, it's a nice, cute little gesture, and she appreciated it.
That was deep, Belle.
It was deep. I dug in the trenches for it.
What did you say? Sorry?
You said that was deep. I dug in the trenches for it.
No.
No? I didn't think so. I wasn't envisioning a trench when I said that.
So who's gone so far? Belle, what favorite lines do you have?
I stole mine, because mine was the football helmet, because like I said already, you can be so mad, and somebody just does something funny like that, and you just forget why you're mad at them. It happens to me a lot, and not just in relationships, but like with friends, too. It's like, I can be so irritated with them, and then they can just like do something or say something funny, and I'm like, okay, we're all good.
Do you know what I really like in the song? Is when she says, no one else is gonna love me when I get mad, mad, mad. Mainly because I think that's like the essence of a successful relationship, is even you could be furious at that person, but you never stop loving them.
Yeah.
And she's just saying, nobody else except this male character in the story, who you don't actually see, just a male that happens to be there, no one else is going to love her when she's mad.
That's really telling if you think about it, because that, think about something as simple as wedding vows, for better or for worse.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like there are so many relationships that, like, that's why they end. It's because when everything's good, everything's good. But when things get good, or things get bad, somebody bails. That's just, like, probably, like, 73% of all relationships end in that circumstance.
And that's the true test of the relationship in this case, is that it's someone that loves her when she's mad, mad, mad. And then another line that actually jumped out at me, also proving the relationship, is the part where she says, "You took the time to memorize me, my fears, my hopes, and dreams. I just like hanging out with you all the time." And that just shows a little bit of extra effort on that male character's part.
Like, I think she actually said something about that, like, her idea of, like, a really good relationship is that it's just someone that you just want to be with all the time, no matter what. Like, you just like being with them.
It's like, yeah, it's like basically that person is your best friend.
If you really think about it, I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but anybody that I know that's, like, older and that has been married, like, a long time and they have a good relationship always refers to their spouse as their best friend.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, my parents do that all the time.
I know, and it's really cute.
Like, you guys are so
your
cheesy.
Your parents are so cute. I love your parents.
They're so cheesy.
They're so adorable.
They're cheesy. They're adorable. Like cheesy old people.
There's nothing They're wrong adorable. With that, though. They've like, what, been married for, like, 37 years? Or that's what your dad keeps telling me. 38 years?
8 years in June.
Okay, 38 wow. years. And your dad, like, still, like, flirts with your mom all the time, and they always...
Oh, God, it's so gross. It's so cute. Don't stop.
It's adorable.
Like, don't talk about my dad flirting with my mom, please.
But, like, don't you want a relationship like that, though, when you're older, where, like, you're still into that person?
You're still, like, in love with
30
them.
30 years later.
Yeah, like, it's a great
still
model.
Think they're sexy. I know this is your parents and that's awkward, but, like...
You just called my parents
no,
sexy.
No, but just pretend it's not your parents.
Wyatt doesn't think that. They think that about each other.
I know. But just imagine that it wasn't
this
your parents.
This conversation's going in a direction I don't want it to.
Well, I'm sure the listeners love it. Maybe.
I hope somebody loves it, because I don't.
Well, I think your parents are adorable, and I think that they're a good example of what I just said. It's like, I mean, really, if you're going to have a relationship last for decades, it's true. If they're not your best friend, that's a problem. They should always be the first one that you go to for, like, everything. That's what,
right.
like, makes a relationship last.
Right, and all these themes are the essence of the secret message, which, of course, is daydreaming about real love, so.
It actually makes me sad, though.
That makes me sad, too.
Like, the song is so cute, but then that message makes me sad.
Why, though?
Well, because she deserves that.
Like, I heard it, and I was like, oh my god, she had such a cute relationship. And I'm like, oh, no, she didn't.
Yeah, it was all made up.
Yeah. Exactly, and that makes me sad, because she deserves to have that.
But, I mean, I think it's okay, because she wrote a song about what she wants and what she's looking for. And it's almost like, you know, a little... inspirational song, kind of. Like, she knows what real love looks like, so now she's gonna go find it.
So basically what you're saying is, if I want to date Taylor Swift, I just gotta show up in a football helmet.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine how many guys are going to show up at the Red Tour wearing a football helmet?
Oh jeez. Oh, I didn't even think of that, but yeah.
With bags of groceries. Grocery bags.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Adam, you gotta do it.
You want me to do it? You want me to carry in groceries and
groceries?
I don't have a football helmet.
Well, buy one.
Where do I get a football helmet?
Buy one.
They're gonna be expensive for, like, a legit football helmet.
We'll get a fake one at Target.
One online.
Alright, I'll try and find a football helmet for the tour. But going back to the whole daydreaming about real love thing, you know, that obviously verifies the fact that this song is fictional. You know, unlike a lot of the songs. And I think that's a nice break on this album. It's a nice little relief because, you know, like I said, we talked about The Moment I Knew last week, and it tore everybody's hearts to pieces, especially Belle. And this is just kind of a break from that. It's something fictional and fun. It's something to throw in the faces of all the haters that say all of Taylor's songs are about the same thing, like her ex-boyfriends.
But, you know, at the same time, like, I wish one of her fictional songs would be a sad song so that we don't have to know that all these sad things have happened to her and not all these happy things.
But why would you make up a sad story just to make yourself more sad?
I don't know. It's just sad to know that. Like, this really, really cute, adorable song didn't even happen.
Well, mine is also like that, isn't it? Like, isn't most of that song based on, like, things that she just made up?
Yeah, I think it was sort of, so, yeah. I mean, it was like she was in a relationship, but, or I don't know if she's in a relationship, but there was like that moment of sitting by the water and having this guy put his arm around her, which then set off this whole imagining their entire lives together thing. So,
which is totally normal, and girls do that all the time.
No, they actually imagine. Do, though, is the scary part.
Yeah.
I wonder what we're saying they is if we're not participating.
Maybe the guy that I don't even know.
We're like, girls do that all the time, as if like we're not part of this.
Those weird girl people.
Those weird girl people that aren't us, because we're like weird.
Because we're normal, right? Girls.
I mean, I've never done that.
Nope, me either.
Mm-mm. Hold on a second, my nose is growing.
Your nose is what?
Growing. Like, as if she was Pinocchio.
Oh, I got it. I'm like, what?
Wow, Adam.
That was really funny.
Sometimes it takes him a little while. It's okay.
Like, your nose is what?
Oh, whatever. But something nice about the fictional songs as well is how well they showcase Taylor's creativity, too.
Yeah, that she can, like, just invent this entire story in her head.
Yeah, like, a lot of girls, like you said, are gonna daydream about this perfect relationship and everything. But Taylor actually puts details to it. She creates an entire story around it and can paint that picture in your head.
Yeah, she does.
So pretty much you're saying that Taylor Swift takes it one step further than the other crazy girls that imagine their futures with these guys.
Well, I don't know about the other crazy girls, what runs through their heads.
Pretty much
the
same thing,
actually.
This is the
first I'm hearing
actually.
That girls actually do this type of thing.
Adam, you're a girl. You know what this... Oh, wait.
So, you're telling me that guys don't do the same thing about girls? That's disappointing.
I mean, maybe some guys do. I don't know. But I have never sat there fantasizing, oh my gosh, I'm sitting with this girl by the water, and oh, we're going to grow up, we're going to have kids together, and we're going to get married, and we're going to walk down the aisle, and we're going to do this, and we're going to be old people in our rocking chairs. Like, I've never done that.
Really?
Really.
That's depressing. You should do that more often. It's fun.
I should picture myself in a rocking chair as an old man with an old lady by my side.
Yeah, rocking your grandchild.
Running around.
And how happy you'll be, and with the person that you love. It's fun.
All right. I'll keep that
in mind.
You
should give it a try.
Next time I'm upset,
just think about that.
Next time I'm upset, good. Put on a football helmet, look in the mirror, and have a go at your imagination.
So, Belle and Maya are musical experts. How does this music compare to Taylor's other songs? The actual music?
She always picks the instruments that fit the emotions and the themes of the song perfectly.
Yeah, like, this song is just so, like, bouncy and cute and fun, and it's kind of like the way that you would feel if you were in that perfect relationship, like, just so happy and smiley. And I mean, especially when it gets to the end and she just, like, bursts out laughing, like, you can't help but smile.
I love that part
because it's just so
cute. Hilarious. She's like, it's so fun, it's so cute.
I feel like she said that at the end of the recording of the song in the studio,
and they just
left it in.
Yeah,
they
no,
loved
that's
how
what
natural
it sounds
it
like. Yeah, they just like, I think they just left it.
Like,
in there.
You know what? That's cute. We'll leave it. Yeah.
I like how there's all these, like, this is not entirely related to the song, but on this album, how there's lots of, like, spoken bits.
I like that,
They're
too.
Entertaining. But especially this
one
is one of my favorites.
This and the We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together phone call.
Yes. That one is the best.
Oh. Do you know what bugged me?
What?
A bug?
Besides that. The other day, someone said the nastiest thing that could ever be said.
What?
Can we stop listening to Taylor Swift? All her songs sound the same.
Who said that?
Obviously, they haven't listened to much of Taylor Swift then.
Like,
exactly. I was playing the Red album, and I'm like, how does Stay, Stay, Stay sound anything like All Too Well?
Like,
who said that?
I would understand their point talking about some of her older things. like, because she writes a lot in the same key and about the same things, and, like, you have to admit that a lot of her earlier songs sound similar. But now, it's like, I mean, dubstep followed by country followed by pop, like, there's yeah. just no way of categorizing it anymore.
She's just Taylor. That is her genre. So, wrapping up our Stay, Stay, Stay discussion, Red Tour. Let's talk Red Tour. I mean, I think there's no doubt that this song's going to be played on tour.
Yeah, I mean, think they have to, especially because a lot of the other songs are kind of heavier. Like, they need this one to, like, get everyone out of their depression.
I want to say that we, like, said something about this earlier, how we were like, she has to play some of these happier songs, otherwise the crowd is just going to be sitting there crying.
Yeah, it's going to be such a depressing show if she just plays I Almost Do and All Too Well and Sad, Beautiful, Tragic, like, back to back.
No, she wouldn't do that. That would be horrible.
Seriously, I mean, she could do... Okay, when we were on the red carpet for the PCAs, I guess they were being sponsored by, like, Puffs or something, and so they threw Kleenexes at all of us.
Oh, no.
And I can just picture, like, Taylor doing, like, three songs in a row that are sad, and everybody having to just throw Kleenexes to the entire crowd. Like, you
know, people going around with tissues.
Yeah, exactly. Take a tissue, pass it down. Yeah, she definitely needs these happier songs to balance it out, otherwise we're all just going to be, like, messes.
What if she had a team of her male dancers wearing football helmets during the song?
That'd be really funny.
That would be sort of cute.
No. Like, wearing football helmets, like, dancing some ridiculous dance in a line.
And carrying groceries.
Yeah, that too.
And throwing cell phones.
I don't know, like,
well, no, because they didn't throw the cell phone, she threw the cell phone at them.
What I've seen of this choreographer's work, I don't think he would go that campy, but I'm sure he'll do something fun. But he's kind of more, like, serious. But I think it'll still be, I mean, whatever he does is going to be cool, but
yeah, for sure.
Cool. So that is a wrap for our Stay, Stay, Stay discussion. So, Belle, scale of 1 to 13?
13 thumbs up, even though I only have 2. We can pretend that I have 11 more.
Maya?
I'll go ahead and give it a 13.
Diane?
13.
Oh my gosh, we're so boring. I was going to give it a 13 too. Oh, why is everyone agreeing?
Why don't you
this
give it
a... This is just a good song.
13.2.
Like a 13.7.
Or that, by the way.
What about a 13.13?
Or that.
Thing.
Or that.
I guess that could be. Why not?
That could be a thing.
Sure.
Or 13.13, or 13,000. Or a 13131.
Insert any multiple of 13 here.
How about a 169?
That's awkward.
13 squared.
Oh.
Anyways.
Okay, moving on.
All right, so last week, you guys will remember, somebody submitted a mini-segment saying that there should be a game show called Wheel of Taylor, and we thought it would be fun to make a segment out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So welcome to Wheel of Taylor with your host, Adam. Today's contestants are... Who competed last week?
Belle and Haley, I think? Because Maya wasn't here.
Today's contestants are Maya and Diane. Welcome to Wheel of Taylor, ladies. How are you doing?
Great.
I'm doing great. I'm very excited for this.
All right. Our first question is going to go to Maya. Maya, which Taylor song became the first ever number one country single to cross over and become a number one top 40 hit?
Think that was Love Story.
Woohoo! You got it! Ding, 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 yay. Ding, ding! The answer is Love Story. Woo. Now, Diane.
Yes.
What was the original title of the Speak Now album, and who felt Taylor needed to change it?
Oh. It was something to do with, like, Enchanted. Or Enchantment.
Ding, ding, ding!
Is it Enchantment?
Enchantment is correct. Now, who was the one that suggested Taylor change it?
Her producer?
Wrong. The correct answer is Scott Borchetta. He wanted something more powerful. And when Taylor came to him with Speak Now, he thought it was perfect.
That was a tough one.
Thank you to both our contestants for playing Wheel of Taylor. Back to Taylor talk.
Oh, jeez.
I thought that was fun. So, Maya, you weren't here last week. How do you like our new segment?
I like it. It's fun.
Testing my Taylor knowledge. It's fun, right? And everybody gets to learn a little more about Taylor.
So what did you guys win, though?
What does Maya win for beating me?
Pride.
Bragging rights?
Okay, we'll go with bragging rights.
All right, so this is going to be a shorter episode. We're going to move on to our last segment right now called What Are Swifties Listening To? Belle, why don't you speak to this?
Today's What Are Swifties Listening To was actually submitted by a former What Are Swifties Listening To, so that's awesome. The lovely and talented Ella Mae Bowen suggests that we listen to Melissa Fuller. Did any of you guys check out her page yet?
Not yet, but we will.
Hey, well, I did yes last night, and she's really good. She's got a really, really good song that's my personal favorite called Anywhere But Here. So I definitely suggest you guys check that out at facebook.com, Melissa Fuller Music. And the really cool thing is that she has a chance to perform at the Grammys.
That's awesome.
Ella Mae Bowen is trying to help her win this contest to perform at the Grammys. And if you go to contests.hitlab.com, don't worry, you don't have to memorize it. We're going to link all this in the episode guide at taylortalk.org. So that's all you have to remember is taylortalk.org. And vote for her. It enters you automatically into a contest to either win a lunch date with Ella Mae Bowen or to get like an autographed picture and some goodies if you're not like close enough living near her to have a lunch date. But you guys definitely need to check out this artist, and please go vote for her because she's got really amazing music, and I'd love to hear her perform at the Grammys. And who could say no to a chance to have lunch with Ella Mae Bowen?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Right?
It's really, really awesome. She is awesome. And this new artist is awesome, and I like the submission. It makes me happy.
Cool. Thank you, Ella Mae Bowen, for submitting that. That's kind of cool that we got a submission from Ella Mae Bowen.
That is really cool. You guys definitely go check out this artist, and thank you for the submission, and yeah, this will make everyone happy, because music makes me happy.
Cool. Thanks for listening. Before we go, of course, you can contact us by email, taylortalk@taylorswift13.org, on Twitter, @taylortalk13, Facebook, facebook.com/taylortalk13, Taylor Connect, taylortalk13, and because we didn't have any submissions through this method this episode, I'm going to push the voicemail text message option. You can leave us a voicemail or a text message at area code 240-31-SWIFT, or you can leave a voicemail directly on taylortalk.org. So again, thanks for listening to episode 47. This has been Adam,
Belle,
Maya,
and Diane.
Saying have a great week, guys. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye, virtual hand hearts.
We are in no way directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.